The text in the call for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from the book of 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and especially these words from Paul. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A man walks into a job interview. The interviewer welcomes him with a firm handshake, and both men sit down. After a short exchange about the weather, they get down to business. The interviewer glances at the man's resume and then says, "You know, many interviewers start by asking about an applicant's strength, but I like to start off interviews with a tougher question. What are your weaknesses?" The man being interviewed surprisingly jumps to the edge of his seat, almost energized by the question. He begins, "Well, I don't really work well with others. I don't consider myself to be a hard worker, and I'm often dismissive of authority." The interviewer sits back in his chair, hoping perhaps that there is a punchline to come. But there is not a punchline. So what do you think? Did the man get the job? Well, of course not. You see, while many interviewers will ask applicants about their weaknesses, the truth is what they're really doing is simply giving you a chance to talk about the very strong ways that you deal with your perceived weaknesses. They do not want nor expect you simply to list those things that you are not good at. No, in our culture, we are taught in almost every sphere of life that we are to boast in our strengths and we are to hide our weaknesses. It's how we get jobs. It's how we get promotions. It's how we get boyfriends and girlfriends and spouses. It's what we do. We seek to make sure everybody knows those things that we are really good at, and we try to make sure as few people as possible know what we really struggle with. And to be honest, in a lot of ways, this kind of living works well in our world. As we alluded to, revealing weakness in an interview can almost assure that one will not make the top list of people considered for that position. Admitting weakness in a yearly review will almost make sure you don't get that raise or that promotion. And telling someone all of your weaknesses on the first date will almost ensure that there's no second date. And then we have the words of our text. Paul says that he does and that we should boast in our weaknesses. No, not just admit them, but boast in them. Is he crazy? What's his point? Why would he tell us to boast in what is wrong with us? Where will that ever get us? Well, that's exactly the point, I suppose. You see, boasting about one's own strength is very good for us. It gets us where and what we want. It brings us glory. But Paul knows something that we know as well, but that perhaps we need to be reminded of again this day. You see, our lives, hidden with Christ in the heavens, are not any longer supposed to be about bringing glory upon ourselves. You see, everything we do now instead is to bring glory to God. And Paul says rightly that boasting in our weaknesses perhaps does a job of bringing glory to God better than anything else we can do. For you see, when people are aware of our weaknesses, and yet still see in us things like peace and hope and strength, they know then that it is not the result of our own goodness. And they end up giving glory to God. Yes, God is best glorified when he makes those who are obviously weak strong. Gideon was sent to battle with only 300 men to fight the vast army of the Midianites. David was sent to fight the gigantic Goliath. And Paul, a man very flawed both in his past and even still in the present, was used by God to write much of the New Testament and to start many of the first Christian churches. It's just what God does. It's how he brings glory to himself. It's by sending the weak and then making them strong. You see, Paul was a notorious persecutor of those who followed in the way of Jesus. He had imprisoned many who believed, and he did this work, we are told, with great zeal. But yet God called a man like that to do his work among the Gentiles. When Paul arrived in a town, there was often a lot of fear and mistrust in the beginning due to his former ways. They knew that Paul had been evil, wicked, weak. And so when he came into their towns and did great good, there was no doubt who should receive the glory. It was God himself. For you see, only God could change a person like that. Only he could do such great things through such a flawed man. But even after Paul became more trusted within the Christian community, Paul still had weaknesses. He had weaknesses that were apparently evident to the people he was around. In one of Paul's letters, he mentions that he had to write in very big letters, which has led many people to believe that perhaps Paul had a trouble with his eyesight. He mentions in another letter that he was filled with anxiety and worry because he had all of these churches he was supposed to be watching over. And we see also in another of his letters that people often said of Paul that while he was mighty and strong in his letters, when he showed up on the scene, he was quite frankly very weak in comparison. Yes, Paul had weaknesses that were evident to all. But God used those weaknesses to display his strength. For you see, Paul's ministry was very powerful, even though he was so obviously weak. And so the people of God came to understand that for whatever work Paul did, the glory truly belonged to God. And in case all that wasn't enough for Paul to remain humble and to continue to remember to give God glory, we are also told in our text that Paul had a thorn in his flesh. Paul doesn't tell us what that thorn was. Perhaps it was one of the things I mentioned already. Perhaps it was something completely different. But whatever it was enough, it bothered Paul enough, rather, to ask God to take it away three times. To beg and plead with God that it might be removed. But God did not remove it. No, he let it remain in order that Paul would remain humble, in order that he would know that when he himself did good things, that it was not him doing them, but God in him. Yes, God assured Paul that his grace was sufficient for him, that indeed he would give him everything he needed in life to make it through life with that weakness. And he also promised him that in that weakness, he would display his awesome power. That right there in the midst of Paul's thorn in the flesh is where the power of God would be perfected. So I suppose today the ultimate question for us is simply this. Who is it that we seek to bring glory to in this life? you seek to bring glory to yourself, then I would continue to boast of your strength and hide your weaknesses. It'll probably serve you pretty well in your pursuits in this life. People will most likely grow to love you and to think highly of you. But if, on the other hand, your ultimate goal is to bring glory to God, to bring glory to that one who loves you enough to send his only son to die for you, then you and me and all of us together must unlearn what we have learned from our culture and even learn from our experiences. We must no longer hide our weaknesses from one another or from the world. We must admit our weaknesses so that when people see strength in us, they will know not to give credit to us, but to give God the glory. Yes, we must stop hiding things if we truly want God to receive the glory. We need to admit our physical weaknesses. We need to admit our psychological weaknesses. We need to admit all the thorns that seem to poke into our flesh every day. And that means we need to become more comfortable with confession than ever before. Comfortable to make not just a general confession of weakness amongst a crowd on Sunday morning, but comfortable to make confession individually before a trusted friend or a spouse or a pastor. We must not come today to the communion rail walking tall because we are here while others are not, or because we are dressed up while others are not. But instead, we must come to this rail simply knowing that we need it, that we have no worthiness of ourselves to stand in the presence of God, but that we know if we will, he will take our weakness and turn it in to strength. And as we leave this place today, and the normal conversations that happen each and every day begin to take off again, when someone asks you this week how you are doing, perhaps you should really stop and tell them. Tell them even when the truth is simply not very flattering. You see, real humility is the only way to relate to God. Those who humble themselves before the Father are exalted. It happens here today. As we gather and humble ourselves in confession before God, he exalts us through the forgiveness of sins he gives to us in his word and in his supper. We are lifted up as we receive the Spirit and are strengthened in the faith that he creates. As those who come before God boasting of their strength, today and throughout all time, have been rebuked and been dismissed. We do not run into God's presence boasting of what we have done, but rather we crawl into God's presence, admitting how weak we truly are. For those who boast of weakness are made strong by Christ. And besides real humility working perfectly in our relationship with God, it also works perfectly in our relationship here together. For you see, being humble around one another and admitting our weaknesses is the real way that true, deep relationships will form. It is the way that false pride, which causes hard feelings, is removed. And it enables us to pray for one another in very specific ways, in those ways that you and I need the most. Yes, if we will admit our weaknesses, God will turn us into a true community of his children, instead of just allowing us to assemble as a bunch of pretenders. And more than anything, admitting our weakness makes it possible for all those here and for all those outside of these walls to learn about God, to learn who he is, to learn how he works, You see, God does not pick the strong or the wise or the perfect. No, he picks us, the weak, the foolish, the flawed. He then forgives our sins and perfects his power in the midst of our weaknesses. And in that way, he receives the glory for the good things that we are able to do in him. Yes, because we understand that all glory belongs to God and to the Lamb who was slain for us. We are reminded again today that we should speak with Paul these words: "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." For you see, that is when God receives the glory. So many years ago, as little children, we learned that song which we just sang, "Jesus Loves Me." And one of the lines in that song makes this simple confession, that we as children are weak, but he is strong. Unfortunately, as many of us have grown, we have changed our perspective on the world. And we think now that we are the strong ones and that we should never admit weakness. But God today, through Paul, tries to craft us back into having the faith of children, to admit that we are terribly weak, in order that the power of Christ may be perfected in us. Amen.